Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Dr. Brook, welcome to EBMT TV.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's my great pleasure to have you here. As we discussed, we shared several things.
Yes.
One of them, we are the Roman alumni.
Yep, yep.
The other thing is actually the book Atlas Shrugged, that also changed my view.
Wow.
So I really love this book. Actually,
Good.
I plan to introduce your book as well as this book in this TV.
Good.
So,
good.
Yeah, so that's good. So what we are sharing.
Yes, Atlas Shrugged changed my life.
Yeah. Unfortunately, what is happening in Korea is pretty similar to what this Atlas Shrugged described in the book.
Yeah.
The current government, Moon Jae-in government, actually encouraged the looters take most of the fruit from innovators,
yep,
and actually increasing exploitation between labor workers, mm-hmm, and also workers from the innovators.
Yeah.
It's very sad that this government is really focusing on inequalities. Could you explain why that actually is not the right things as you described in your book?
Absolutely. I mean, inequality from an economics perspective and from an ethical perspective is irrelevant.
Right.
It's just not important. What's important is freedom. And when you take people and you make them free and you protect them so that they can't steal from one another and they can't use fraud against one another, then what you get is inequality because we don't produce at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the same ideas. There's only one Steve Jobs. There's only one Bill Gates. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I mean, I wish there were more of them. But these are productive geniuses who create enormous amounts of wealth for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And they take a tiny share of what they produce for the world. But that tiny share is so large that income inequality increases, but we're all better off. All of us, our lives are better for having had Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, or I like to use J.K. Rowling, the woman who wrote Harry Potter, because everybody knows Harry Potter, and everybody's read Harry Potter. And I say, J.K. Rowling is really, really bad, because she increased income inequality. It's terrible. I got poorer because I bought the books, and she got richer. She became a billionaire. She's a billionaire today. That's wrong, because I'm poorer now. And people scratch their heads, right? Because that doesn't seem right. No, we're all richer because we read Harry Potter and we got the spiritual benefit of reading the books.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that J.K. Rowling is a billionaire because it rewarded her for making our lives better. And that's true of all innovators and entrepreneurs and creators and builders. The world, the view of the current Korean government, and I think the view of so many people in the world today, is that trade and innovation and production and economics is a zero-sum world. That your gain is my loss. But no, in a free market, your gain is my gain. If you make money, it's because my life is better, because I bought your product. I'm not gonna buy your product unless your product makes my life better. So we need to change our paradigm. Economics is win-win. Trade is win-win. It's mutually beneficial. We don't win at the same rate, because we don't produce the same value. Some of us are teachers, and as teachers, we're never going to make a lot of money because we only teach. We teach a few hundred kids every year. So over our lifetime, we might influence a few thousand people. Bill Gates or Steve Jobs influenced billions of people. They changed the lives of billions of people. So they make more money than us. Okay, I don't care. Actually, I'm happy. I would thank Bill Gates if I met him, or Steve Jobs when I met him, because again, they've made my life better. So the whole obsession about zero-sum about inequality is an obsession driven by zero-sum mentality. One person's gain is another person's loss. And from an ethical perspective, it's driven by envy. Why does he have more than I do?
Right.
Instead of respect for somebody who has more than I do.
Yeah, I also argue the same logic to Korean public. Recently, many economists or the officials in Korean government claim that the top 1% or 10% share has been increasing so much. It's just like in the United States.
Yeah.
So I argue that no, because of that, many Korean companies become so globally successful, like Samsung Electronics.
Yeah.
So of course, because their global success brought lots of wealth.
Yes.
And they took a small portion of that. That's the Schumpeterian innovation pool reward, right?
So if in the past they just made the lives of Koreans better,
right?
They made X. Now they're making the lives of people all over the world better. So the X is multiplied. It's bigger.
Yes, exactly.
A good example of that from the United States is athletes. Basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball players make a lot more money today than they did 20, 30 years ago. And why is that? It's because today basketball is a global industry. People in China, people in Korea, people in Europe watch American basketball. So LeBron James is not only entertaining Americans, he's entertaining the entire world. So of course, the entire world is paying, right, through advertising to the owners of the teams. And LeBron James is making more money because his market now is global rather than national. And the same thing of these multinational companies. They are now having an impact globally instead of just nationally. And as a consequence of that, their income has gone up dramatically, whereas the worker in the factory is still only, in a sense, doing the same job, right? He might be more productive, and wages at the bottom have gone up. It's not true that they are stagnant. They've gone up. They've just gone up more slowly because the increase in productivity has not matched the kind of effect of globalization.
Yeah, I also take this example. For example, BTS, have you heard that?
No.
That's the group of boys famous now.
Oh, the musicians, the singers. Yes.
And we call idol groups.
Yes.
And now they are performing in Britain and America. And clearly they are accumulating so much money.
Yep.
So why that was hurt me? That's a ridiculous one. And as you described, when you decided to move to United States, you never considered the inequality, right? And many defectors from North Korea to South, they actually care about the inequality. They really came here for the economic opportunities,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I often amazed by the fact that actually the North Korea and South Korea is a good example. Really, economic opportunity matters, and economic freedom matters.
Yes.
Inequality is a natural result of that freedom, right? So, but still, people think, or even current government think that inequality is unfair and not justice, and so on. So,
well, unfortunately, it comes from a philosophy, a philosophical approach to life, and ethics that says equality is some kind of ideal.
Right.
That we we are metaphysically different human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We have different interests, different characters, different motivations. And we're going to produce at different levels. And to assume that we're all the same goes counter to reality, counter to nature. And the only way we become equal is in North Korea. The only way we become equal is if we're all equally poor.
Yes.
Right? And North Korea, I mean, people think of North Korea as this aberration. But the fact is that 300 years ago, the whole world was North Korea.
Right.
Everybody was poor until capitalism, until we had free markets. And once you had capitalism and free markets, suddenly everybody got rich relative to the way things were. Just some people got rich faster than other people, but everybody was better off. And I would argue that the only reason the poor, the people who landed up poor got much, much richer is because the rich got even richer. Because the fact is that nobody gets rich. Nobody's life improves unless you have entrepreneurs,
right?
Unless you have innovation, unless you have businessmen, unless you have capital investments. Capitalists and entrepreneurs and CEOs, managers of big companies, they produce the most. They create the standard of living we live at. We should be saying thank you to them, not denouncing them, because they make it possible for all of us to rise. The reason wages have gone up over the last 50 years in Korea, because you used to be poorer than North Korea.
Yes.
The reason those wages have gone up is because of the increased productivity of labor. Labor has increased productivity because capital has been invested in that labor. Labor doesn't become more productive just by itself.
Right.
You have to invest capital. And that is entrepreneurs, that's capitalists, that's financial markets, that's all the features of a free market.
Yeah, along your logic, actually, it was another awakening moment when I read the economist Sowell's
Thomas Sowell.
Thomas Sowell.
Yeah.
He said that what is amazing is not the why the people are poor, actually. Why so many people suddenly so rich, right? Yeah, so
No, the natural state of mankind.
Yeah.
The state of mankind before capitalism, before the Industrial Revolution, before the Age of Reason, but you know, before capital is invested, is poverty. For 100,000 years, since the beginning of man, since the beginning of Homo sapiens, we were poor. And it's only in the last 200 years that anybody in the world has really been rich. How long have we had electricity? How long have we had running water and actually, you know, sewage and all the conveniences that we enjoy? Like, or these phones, right? These phones have only been around for 11 years. I mean, we take them for granted as if they've been here forever. But somebody had to invent that. Somebody had to invest in it. Somebody had to take a risk on it. All that capital had to be smart enough to see that this was the future. 99.999% of the people would have never invested in an iPhone. So it took a particular genius to do it. And now we want to punish them. We want to penalize them. We want to take their money away. Why? I mean, it's unbelievably unjust and unfair. I say equality is unjust. Equality is unfair. The only valid equality is political equality, equality of freedom, equality of rights, equality before the law. But equality has no place in economics.
Yeah, I fully agree that. And unfortunately, this Korean government is trying very hard to punish these innovators nowadays. That's very sad. And I think if I borrow your logic, one of the really fatal assumptions is the group pie assumption.
Yes,
assumption. Because the Korean culture is so collective, based on collectivism.
Yeah.
And that's also that assumption is much stronger than any other part of the world. That's really what we are struggling to explain the importance of the freedom.
I think that's right. The real battle is over collectivism.
Yeah.
The real battle is not about economics, because the economic issue we won a long time ago. Free markets work. The real battle is trying to convince people that collectivism is bad, and that only individualism can produce the kind of results that they want in their life. Only individualism is the appropriate way for human beings to live. Because yes, we assume that there is a collective pie out there, that wealth, Korean, there's such a thing as Korean wealth. But there is no Korean wealth.
Right.
There's the wealth you create and I create and somebody else creates and we create at different levels. But wealth is only individual. Wealth is produced by individuals. And when we assume that wealth is collectivized, then people look and say, okay, there's this pie, there's this Korean wealth. How are we going to distribute it? No, that's a completely wrong way of looking at it. There's no pie. It's not a static pie. There's no static pie because wealth grows. But more importantly, there's no collective pie. Other people can't eat for me. I have to eat myself.
Right.
Other people can't think for me. And other people can't produce for me. So we understand at the biological level that we're individuals. Now we have to understand at the political moral level that we're individuals. The fundamental unit in society is the individual. And if I produce stuff, you don't have a right to it. You can't steal it away from me. And what the government does is theft. By taking from someone, giving to others, that is theft. It's taking what an individual produces. It's taking food off their table. And it's not relevant how much you need or how much society decides you need. It's how much you as an individual produce. So yeah, I think the ultimate battle, and this is the battle we've been fighting for hundreds of years, it's a deeply philosophical battle, is this battle between collectivism and individualism. As long as we think that the group is more important than the individual, we will always be willing to sacrifice the individual to the group. And what we need is to change our thinking and to embrace kind of the Enlightenment, the European Enlightenment idea that the individual is what's sacred. The individual is what matters. And the only reason to form a collective is to protect that individual. That's why we have governments and authoritarian state. But the individual is the unit of morality. The individual is the unit that matters, not the group is just a collection of individuals.
That theft is called welfare nowadays, right?
It's called what?
The theft
is called welfare. Yeah,
right. That's
called
welfare. Unfortunate use of the word.
Yeah.
And you migrate from Israel.
Yes.
And Israel is one of the most innovative countries actually producing lots of the unicorns.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Amazing number of startups, successful startups. On the other hand, in Korea, that the big business conglomerate always blame that they have too much economic power.
Yeah.
And actually, I think it's the only other country than Korea that actually government try to reform corporate governance. By law, what do you think that here the Korean government? I think that much larger portion of the economic development, the difficulties actually coming from the government failure, not the market failure.
Absolutely.
But the people and those progressive guys always blame the big corporate in Korea. So
yes.
They become the public enemy in Korea, and even the one of the three economic policy pillars of the current government actually, dismantling its congruence.
Yeah. So I think Korea, to the extent that the government in the past has protected the conglomerates and given them special favors as compared to entrepreneurs, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want is the government to be less involved in the economy,
mm-hmm.
to get out of the economy, not to break up the businesses, but to allow also for competition, not to protect them, not to bail them out,
mm-hmm.
not to tell the banks they have to lend them money, but to actually allow for real competition. So the more the government gets out of the economy, the better it is. Israel is an interesting case because Israel, when I was growing up in Israel, Israel was a socialist country. The largest employer in Israel in the 50s, 60s, 70s, with the labor unions.
Oh.
The labor unions owned the means of production. It was real socialism.
Oh, I see.
But starting in the 1980s, that was broken up. The labor union's power was reduced. They were forced to sell off their factories. Everything was privatized. And I think that is a big reason why Israel has become so successful. I think the other reason why Israel has so many innovators is a cultural issue. We grew up in Israel. We grew up with disagreement. The whole culture in Israel is you disagree. We fight. We argue. So dinner time at a typical house in Israel is everybody's arguing. Everybody's yelling at one another, right? And that's encouraged. The disagreement is encouraged. The thinking for yourself is encouraged. Independence is encouraged. And I think that produces an entrepreneurial mentality. right? I'm willing to take risk. I'm willing to argue. I'm willing to disagree, because entrepreneurs are people who disagree, are people who think they can do things better than what's. So I think the culture contributes to that. But I would say the Israeli government today is still way too involved in the economy. And they are, they actually do provide some monopoly protections that they have protected certain industries. For example, some of the farming industries, some of the agricultural industries in Israel are protected from competition. Part of the protection is with tariffs. So it's very expensive to import food into Israel so that they can, you know, so like the milk lobby in Israel is very powerful. And they have monopoly power over milk prices, whereas you could import milk cheaper, right, from some of our neighbors. And I think that's true of cement, that's true of a number of different things. But in the tech space, the government has very much left that market alone. So it functions. You have venture capital, you have entrepreneurs, and companies rise up without government permission, without government authority, without government, you know, intervention. So that's why I think you have so much innovation there. But Israel, too, has the same kind of struggles. And indeed, I fear that much of the world is very similar to the situation in Korea. I mean, we're seeing more government intervention, more government, Europe, more government controls, you know, more inequality is a big issue in the United States. I think it's partially the fact that people talked about it is partially why Donald Trump got elected, because he got elected by people who thought inequality is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And he was going to fix it by bringing manufacturing back to the United States, which is a complete myth and ridiculous. And of course, he is engaged in a trade war. Not because it makes economic sense, because as economists, we know it doesn't make economic sense, but because he, like many people in the world today, view trade as a zero-sum game. And he thinks the United States wins when it puts on tariffs. So the economic ignorance, I think, driven from the collectivism and driven from a morality that says we should all be equal, is stunning in the world today. We should know so much better than we do.
Yeah, it's not the science, it's not the reasoning, it's the myth.
Yes, yes.
And also, many politicians actually take such a courses because it gives
them, power. Yeah, so they encourage the mythology, they encourage the lie, because it gives them more control.
Even the many scholars, left-leaning scholars in Korea, actually spread such myths and fake news, and sometimes extremely distort the facts. So what I have been doing is actually pointing out that their claims are not based on the facts.
Good.
Business logics. So could you explain what your institute, Ayn Rand Institute, are doing?
Yeah, I mean, the Ayn Rand Institute is basically there to promote the ideas of Ayn Rand. Mm-hmm. It's to, you know, she died in 1982, and the institute was founded in 1985 to continue her legacy. It's to get people interested in her ideas. I think her ideas are the most important ideas in the world today, because not only do they deal with the political, economic level, but they create the moral and philosophical foundation for freedom. And I think that's where the disagreements really are deep. Mm-hmm. It's in, and I think it's the fact that people believe in a false morality and believe in collectivism. Mm-hmm. It's why they are willing to accept these false, ridiculous ideas in economics. So we have to challenge that. And my view is Ayn Rand is the only thinker that can really challenge these fundamentally collectivistic ideas, because she has a philosophical context. So our institute is there to promote these ideas, whether it's to get people, particularly young people, to read her books. Because just like our lives were changed by Atlas Shrugged, you know, I'm hoping that millions of people's lives will be changed ultimately by Atlas Shrugged. And then to you know, use her ideas to comment on current events, to show people how applicable they are, how relevant they are to the current debate. Mm-hmm. And we also teach her philosophy so that we can train future intellectuals, so there will be future thinkers, future economists, future political scientists, future historians, who can use these ideas of individualism and reason and reality and rational self-interest to explain the world to the public and hopefully bring about real cultural change. Because I think politics is downstream from culture, mm-hmm. but culture is downstream from philosophy. Mm-hmm. What matters are the philosophical ideas people hold. That establishes a culture, mm-hmm. and the culture, we get the politicians we deserve. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sad, but Korea deserves these politicians. If Israel deserves it, and we, I guess in the United States, we deserve Donald Trump, because we have a culture that fits their personality. So we have to change the culture. And this is why it's hard work. Mm-hmm. It's why these kind of videos are so important, and the work you do is so important, because you're trying to change the way people think about the world. You're challenging the status quo. And that has to be done if we're ever going to change the politics.
Yeah, my institute actually have been using a lot of material from FEE,
yes,
and also, yes, Heritage Foundation,
yes,
and
maybe Cato,
yeah,
Cato, yes,
and CAVEX from Britain,
yes, yes.
So please let me know what kind of, I guess, specific activities and material you have. Then we. I love to
good.
Spread that idea.
Your viewers could go to aynrand.org, aynrand.org. And of course, I have a podcast that I do three, four times a week, whenever I have an opportunity. I try to talk about these ideas and try to spread these ideas. So just look up my name at Google and YouTube, and you can find my podcast. But yeah, we produce a lot of content. Happy to share that content with you. And all those organizations are doing good work. Mm-hmm. And again, that is all the economics layer. What we're trying to do is present kind of the philosophical layer on which it all rests, mm-hmm, which I think is what Rand's job is. And until we change people's attitudes towards morality, towards collectivism, towards their own life, in a sense, it's hard to do the economics. It's hard to convince them about the economics. Because as I said, we won the economic debate a long time ago.
Yes,
you know, free markets work.
And this country is the best example,
yeah,
actually, against North Korea, right?
Yeah.
There's no better example than South Korea.
In 50 years, you went from being poorer than North Korea,
yeah,
to being much, much, much richer than North Korea. Why?
Yeah.
Because free markets, because you implemented some,
yes,
some pro-market strategies, and not even all the way. Imagine how rich Korea would be if you really implemented free markets all the way.
Right.
You'd be even richer than you are today.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. I open that this society is going to forget about this four little tigers. That now Hong Kong and Singapore is much, much richer,
yes,
much richer than Korea.
Because they stayed on track.
Yeah, they are much freer,
yes,
countries than.
Yes. Although, again, both of those countries are starting to head in the wrong direction. Hong Kong, because of
China's influence.
And Singapore, because there's, again, like I think in a lot of countries, this issue of inequality has become a big issue, and the opposition in Singapore is becoming more powerful, and they're trying to influence the government to take on more leftist policies and more collectivistic policies. So even Singapore is now in danger of adopting anti-market policies, and I think that the whole world seems to be drifting in that direction. It's very disheartening, and it means we need to work even harder to try to keep the freedoms that we have.
Okay. I wish I could continue this discussion all day.
Yeah,
you have to catch the flight.
I do.
We have to conclude here for your flight. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'll do my best to spread the ideas, the philosophy, and the materials that your institute produces.
Wonderful. Anything we can do to help, we'd love to help.
Yeah. Also, if possible, I may send some of the young people to your institute.
We actually, a young Korean from here just started as an intern at the institute on Monday. She just started, a young woman. So yes, we have essay contests that Korean students have participated in the past. She was a semi-finalist in one of our essay contests. Then she applied for an internship through the Koch Institute. And she got the internship, and she started now. So we're very, very excited to have her. And we'd love to have more in the future.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so
much. Wonderful. My pleasure. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Great.